Hello, welcome to Wickersley Partnership Podcast. I'm here with Amelia.
Hi everyone, I'm from Wickersley School and I'm 12 years old.
And we have Michelina.
Hi, I'm 10 and I'm from Aston Holland Junior and Infant School.
First off, we have climate change. Over to you, Michelina.
I think that electronics are bad for the climate because if people are wanting to have more devices, the factories produce CO2 emissions, which can be really damaging to the environment. If people can somehow lose interest in screens a bit, the environment could repair itself and the world could be safer. Or people could even save their phones and get second-hand ones. This results in parents losing money and not being able to spend it on more important things. Now that's all from me, but now we head to Zoe.
I'm going to be talking about mental health and physical health when it comes to children and young people on social media platforms. Electronics is something that affects young people in the wide world today. Too much screen time can have an effect on the physical health of young people. If screens can be used from a young age, then the risk of dementia gets higher. Studies show that more than 4 hours of TV a day can give you an increased risk of vascular dementia, Alzheimer's and many more. The attention span of children has decreased in recent years and delayed learning causing loss of education. Not only are children more likely to develop ADHD, but also if a traumatic video or inappropriate image is shown, then this can lead to students being diagnosed with PTSD. Did you know that sleep deprivation can lead to impaired socialising skills? During COVID, the average screen time for children and young people was up by 13%.
Now me and Zoe are going to interview Mrs. Ward. How do you feel about the rise of screen time in children's daily lives?
It's actually something that really concerns me, screen time, because as a mum, I can see the impact of this every single day. And as a teacher, I think it has affected how children are able to communicate with each other without a phone or a screen in the hand. So I think it should be limited. I think it should be restricted, firstly by parents and also by children themselves, obviously, as they're getting older, to actually take accountability and look at how much time they're spending online, look at reducing it, because I do think it's affecting particularly communication and mental health of particularly teenagers, like younger generation.
Do you feel that your students' academic levels have dropped since like the COVID?
I've not particularly noticed anything with from an academic point of view, but I think behaviourally and in terms of standards, it's dropped. So just the idea that they didn't have to come to school every day, I think there's now less of a priority from parents to get kids in every day and make sure they're here and that they're learning, and not as much concern if a child's off. Behaviourally, students were not, they didn't have the same standards during COVID, so that, you know, teachers weren't in the classroom before the kids, so behaviourally I think has slipped, but nothing, I've not noticed anything academically.
Do you feel like you're always having to tell your children in your class to pay attention and stop getting distracted, as if their attention span's dropping?
It depends on the year group. So I'm quite fortunate in that I tend to teach GCSE and A-level, so we do tend to get students that are a little bit more self-conscious and self-aware of the importance of studying, because they've got exams coming up. So I don't really have behavioural issues. It's a little bit different in year nine, where students lose focus and need gentle reminders to stay on task, but definitely not in upper school.
I'll pass on to Zoe now to ask a few more questions.
Do you think that since COVID it's affected how people communicate today?
I don't know. I think not being at school for young people has affected lots of different things, not particularly just communication, but behaviour and standards and not valuing the same things that they did before COVID. So getting to school every day, which might have been a priority pre-COVID, isn't anymore, because we've had so much time off. People perceive that it's not a big deal if they're actually off school, but not particularly communication.
In your opinion, how many hours weekly should children have on screens?
It's difficult to put a number on it, I think. There's kind of research out there that suggests any more than 2 hours a day of what they call sedentary screen time. So where the children are not doing anything, so they're not You know, walking and talking on the phone, for example, where they're just simply scrolling through social media, is it should be limited to 2 hours at an absolute maximum a day. But we all like phones, we all like iPads, and there's lots of good things to, you know, to use them for, but it just has to be limited. It's got to start at, that has to start at home first. So parents limiting screen time, 2 hours a day would be what I would say for young people, absolute maximum.
Thank you.
I'm now going to be explaining about the truth behind social media and the after effects of COVID. I'm going to start off by mentioning self-image. Many influencers are meant to look perfect and pretty all the time. Many children don't understand this, however, this is the truth. Because of this, self-image is now very negative and it can be hard to look in the mirror. More teens than any other age group want perfect looks. These standards include a flat waist, smooth and silky hair, slim legs and curvy waist. Since COVID, this has begun to massively increase among young people. Screen time has risen to an unbelievable amount each day. For teenagers, these hours can range from 1 to 9. It's shocking. COVID has made socialising for children harder, as they are used to having their bubble and being on Zoom calls, where they hardly ever talk to each other. Coming back to school was a big change, as it was back to socialising and being in person with people. This must improve. Now Bethany will be interviewing Mr. Gaynor, a psychology teacher. Thank you and goodbye from me.
Do you think that the impact of the pandemic has affected how people communicate nowadays?
During the pandemic, obviously quite a lot of learning happened online, didn't it?
Yeah.
And what I remember teaching classes during the pandemic, and what I was very conscious of, was at the beginning, everyone would have the cameras on and we'd check in. It was different and it was unusual. But as it became more and more routine, I, as a teacher, did quite a lot of talking. So it was almost like the students were really, really passive and they didn't engage. So it, for me, the students almost became a little bit more anonymous. So a little bit more with, yeah, they did, they withdrew. So they didn't contribute as much as normal. And it got to the point that when I was delivering, I was teaching, I was almost talking solidly for an hour because nobody would talk back.
So they sort of just went to their own little world.
Yeah, not so much at the start though, but as it became more and more routine, they seemed to withdraw. They didn't contribute as much as normal.
Do you think this really affects how they communicate today through screens?
Yeah, I think so. I think what I've noticed as well, because we email a lot of students at the time in sixth form, so that tends to be our main way in which we communicate. But they tend to be really to the point now with emails. So in the past, when they emailed, they would say, you know, hello or good afternoon, and it'd be really polite. Whereas now it's much more to the point and short and curt, I'd say.
So their manners have sort of not gone as well. So it's nothing to do with parenting. It's because of what they've been through.
Yeah. I think, especially during the pandemic as well, like we didn't really use Google Classroom that much before the pandemic. Like it was something that we occasionally used. But of course, during the pandemic, we used it all the time. That's now become the expectation and the norm. So students expect kind of that, those resources online. They expect all of that information to be available, which is good. It's good for them. It's good to have it. But I'd say they rely on that more. So rather than engaging in class fully, sometimes if they know the PowerPoints and things are on Google Classroom, they know they can go away later and do the work. So we didn't really used to share that much information before on Google Classroom, but we certainly do now after the pandemic.
I do quite rely on Google Classroom for homework, because a lot of the time that's where it is. It's not physical. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this is a good idea?
Yeah, I think I can see the benefits of Google Classroom. Like I can understand why as a student you'd like it and you'd like all of those resources to be available on demand. But as I said, I do think sometimes students rely on that a little bit too much. You know, back when I was at school, we used to record our homework in a planner. But now I think students use technology and rely on technology to record their homework and to complete their homework as well.
Do you think there should be stricter rules in schools and not in schools about communication and websites and socials?
Yes. Yeah. So as a teacher, although I think smartphones are really useful in the classroom, much more convenient than, say, arranging to have Chromebooks in classroom. Students can get their smartphone out, do research, go on the internet, etc. That can help sometimes when teaching, but I think the negatives of phones in the classroom outweigh the benefits. So it's almost as though young people can't concentrate as much as they used to. So they almost, I notice it sometimes when I'm teaching, if they do have it on their desk when they shouldn't, they will keep tapping it all the time to see where, if they've got a notification.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it's a constant distraction. It's constantly there in the background. So I would rather mobile phones not be used in the classroom or in school.
Do you think that because they've had to use so many screens, they've lost focus more?
Yes, I do. And students are aware of that as well. Quite a lot of my students now in sixth form use a study app. And what that app does is it somehow disables some functions on their phone. So it's like a focus app. They find that really useful, and some of them say that they can't really revise very effectively if they're not using that app. It kind of puts their phone into do not disturb mode. So yes, I do think that they're not as focused, and I think students themselves are aware of that and actually install apps to try and refocus.
Okay, I think we've got on all the questions we need. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you to Amelia, one of our presenters, for being here today. And thank you to our interviewees for agreeing to take part.
Thank you to Bethany, one of our interviewers and our audio engineer.
Thank you to Zoe, another of our presenters, for interviewing, taking a big part in a controversial topic. And most of all, to our director and speaker, Michalina, who has done an amazing job and helped us all so much. Thank you and goodbye from Wickersley Partnership Podcast.